Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Growing up, I've always believed that I was able to make it into the history books. I had a dream that I would be able to spin a basketball enough on my finger so that I would be able to make it into the Guinness Book. Now, I'll give it a go now. I've been practicing for a little while today, so hopefully it won't be too bad. Not bad, eh? Not bad. Let me tell you, my dreams are shattered. A name called Joseph Odhiambo came into the scene. This man spun a basketball on his finger for 4 hours and 15 seconds. Wow. Pretty impressive. So that put me to shame. There are many people who crave to be history makers. They want to create their own piece of history. They want to leave their legacy for generations to come. They want to be remembered for something. Sorry, they want to be remembered for being someone who is great by doing something that is great. When your time is up here on earth, what do you want to be remembered for? If you haven't already gathered, this passage that Brendan read is all about faith. Verse 1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's a huge verse. It's a verse that sums up our Christian faith. Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And we'll talk more about this as we go along tonight. Now, I happen to open up the Oxford Dictionary. It defines faith as a complete trust or confidence in something or someone. We all put our trust and confidence in something, don't we? In this life, we choose people or things that we believe or trust will enable us to achieve a better life. Let me give you an example. How many of us actually drove by car here tonight to church? Put up your hand if you came by car. Majority of us. Well, that means you actually put your trust in our road system to be able to get here safely. Vic Roads, a very trustworthy organisation, and our spokesman is actually unfortunately not able to make it here tonight, so we're not going to talk more about it. How many youth and young adults today put their confidence in alcohol and drugs to give them a good night out? I know so many of my friends who won't go out unless they're able to drink. What about money and sex? How many people trust that money and or sex will give them the happiness and the pleasure and the desires that they want in their life? There are so many things in this world that people are putting their trust and their confidence in to help them to gain a better life. But you see, this passage, Hebrews chapter 11, is not concerned with everyday worldly faith. This passage is referring to the Christian faith, a faith that connects us with the living God. So you need to realize that there's actually a difference, a distinction between the Christian faith, what's mentioned here, and a worldly faith. The worldly faith is for the here and now. I mean, when we finish up our time here on earth, things like money and sex, they're gone. They've got we've got no use for them anymore. But the faith mentioned here in chapter 11 for Christians, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, it tells us that we're desiring something greater than this world can actually offer us. We're hoping that after our life here on earth, even though this hope is based on not what is visible. So from reading chapter 11, the author of Hebrews does not only give us a definition of what Christian faith is, he gives us examples of people who are willing to put their faith into action and therefore create history. In fact, the reason why this is such a great chapter, not only in Hebrews but of the Bible, is because the writer lists both men and women who have dedicated their lives to being faithful to God's service. Old Testament men and women who are being honored for their faithful service to God. Now, for the sake of time, even though I'd love to do this, we can't actually talk about all of these people that Brendan read to us. It's just not going to happen. But I'm just going to pick a few. And I guess I want to encourage you in your own time to read this passage again. Read this passage again and analyze how these ordinary men and women are being recognized, or why they're being recognized as men and women of faith. And from that, you can decide some of your own situations of faithfulness to God and how they are similar to these men and women. And if they're not similar, maybe pray about how God can change aspects in your own faith so that your faith can be strengthened, so that you can please God by your faith. One we read from verse 4 in chapter 11. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Just a bit of background on Cain and Abel, if you're not sure of the story itself. Cain and Abel were the first children of Adam and Eve. And when they grew older, Cain's job was to work the soil, and Abel's job was to keep check of the flocks. And they both brought offerings to God. Now, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to God. So therefore, he gave some over to God, but he kept some for himself. But what we're told here in Hebrews, and also in Genesis, where the story takes place, is that Abel brought fat portions from the firstborn of his flock. He gave the best offering to God. And God looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Whereas with Cain, he was displeased and did not look with favor on him. So I guess what we need to understand is that through our faith, we need to be giving God the best of everything that we have. And the reason why this is because everything that we have and own is God's. So through faith, we know that God has created us, and through faith, he has given us everything that we have. So when we give back to God only some of our money, only some of our time, and we're not generous with our giving, how do you actually think that makes God feel? I have a friend who I was speaking to earlier this week. This friend is known to me as a workaholic. This person struggles to give up their time for others because their work comes as a priority to them. It's all about work. But through reading the Bible, this friend was challenged by God to stop being so self-centered and give up one day a week to spend more time serving others. This friend of mine has realized that living a life of faith has meant more offering and giving time and serving to actually please God. If we want to live lives of faith, then we have to give God what is rightfully his, like Abel did. We have to offer every part of us to bring glory to God. But sometimes the life of faith does not mean that we will be rewarded here on earth. Cain got so angry with his brother and jealous that he attacked and killed him. But even though Abel is dead, his faith still speaks today. And that's the sort of faith that you and I must be aspiring for. Faith that is durable, faith that will last the distance. Let's move to verse 5 and read about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Enoch's story of faith is a really interesting one. This man walked with God for 300 years. I don't know about you, but I find it difficult to walk for 10 minutes. And in Genesis, it tells us that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. But walking is actually translated as living. So if we substitute those words, Enoch lived with God for 300 years. Even still, that's pretty amazing. He lived the life of faith for 300 years. Living by faith for God doesn't mean just here on a Sunday at church. For us as Christians, it has to be a 24/7 thing. Like when we're at school or work and a conversation about God comes up, not shying away from it, even though it means that we're looked at differently. Or in the same vein, leaving a conversation if others are gossiping or talking vulgar. It's hard work. Faith is a risky business. But our actions and words need to declare to others who we put our faith in. So we need to stand up. We need to be not ashamed of our faith, not ashamed of the gospel. Just like Enoch. And what was his reward? He was taken up to heaven without experiencing death. Because God was pleased with his faith. The final hero of faith I want to look at today is Abraham, known to many as the father of faith. Abraham's faith journey is a fantastic story. He was asked by God to leave his home, his country, and go to a foreign land because God had promised that he would make Abraham into a great nation and make his name great, and his offspring would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And we're told in verse 8 that Abraham obeyed, and he went. And even though he did not know where he was going, he still obeyed. The key to Abraham's faith being his obedience. You know, if God's called us to do something by faith, we must do it. We can't live a life of faith and not obey God's call in our life. If you believe in God, then you believe that his plan is perfect for you, and that he wants the best for you. Let me give you an example. Dee and Danny. They believed their calling was to go to Kenya to serve young children who were orphaned. So was their response, "No, God, we've got a young child. We've both got secure jobs here in Melbourne. And Kenya at this point in time would just be too risky for us." By faith, now they are impacting the lives of many people in Kenya right now. And when God asks us to leave a job or a ministry and start something totally new, how comfortable are we to make that move? It's risky, isn't it? Imagine while you're praying tomorrow that God asks you to move from your current job, to leave your job, and that's the only instructions that you're given. How many of us would be willing to do it? Even though by faith, we know that God has something greater in store for us. Yet still, most of us would struggle to obey. I have another friend. And if you haven't got the gist already, I've got lots of friends. So this friend of mine was at the checkout at Safeway. The lady in front of my friend was fumbling around and dropping her groceries. My friend overheard her say that something was wrong. And through listening to God speaking to this friend of mine, she obeyed God's call by talking to this lady and praying with her. Now, I'm not sure what came out of this situation, but this is faith in action. Listening and obeying to God's call in our life, even in the small things. In order for us to have this connection with God by faith, we need to understand that there are three components of the Christian faith. We need to believe that God exists and that he is the creator. When we give our lives over to God, we have to have faith, don't we? I mean, you can't believe in God and say that God actually didn't create the world. It just doesn't make sense. Because in order for God to create the world, he needs to exist. And that's what's mentioned in verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So in other words, we have to acknowledge that the creation story in the opening chapter of Genesis is true and correct. If we have faith in God, then we must believe that God in his loving nature created everything in this universe, the sun, the stars, the moon, the skies, the water, the animals, and his greatest creation, people. Adam and Eve being the first, and all of us still being part of his good and perfect creation. God created people to be in relationship with him. And that's why you and I are here today. We were created to have a relationship with the Father. How? By faith. And looking at our heroes of faith, this is what Abel believed. He knew God created him and was able to offer back to God what was rightfully God's. Secondly, we need to come to God and seek him earnestly. Let me ask, how many of us struggle in our communication to God? Dodgy just spoke to us before when she was praying and asked, how many of us struggle with prayer? You know, in our busy schedules, do we come to God and speak to him? And be honest with your answer. Because if I'm being honest, I'd have to say I struggle at times. Just because I'm standing up here preaching to you doesn't mean that I've got my prayer life and reading the Bible up to scratch. There's definitely room for improvement. But I guess the key is wanting to improve and realizing that there is room for improvement. Because once you've identified that, you can put in place steps to help you. For me, I'm definitely not a morning person. I'm someone who hits my snooze button about 5 or 6 times before I actually get up, which leaves me limited time in the morning to get ready. So I actually use my travel time in the car for some time and connection with God. That's how I focus in on the day ahead, the challenges that await me. Sometimes I chuck in a praise and worship CD and let my lovely singing voice do the rest. Well, at least God thinks it's lovely. And what about corporate prayer? No, we talk about coming here on a Monday every first Monday of the month, but it doesn't happen. I think one of the main problems we struggle with that is because we struggle with our own individual prayer. But you know what? If you care about this church, which I think you do because you're all here tonight, then we've got to come together as the body of believers and pray. Corporate prayer is so important. And once again, I'm not 100% at this. I don't come every time. Why? Because I let excuses like being lazy and having too much work get in the way. But I should be prioritizing my time better and placing more importance on praying with my fellow believers. Because it's my church, it's our church, and more importantly, it's God's church. Some of us here tonight will be going really well in our prayer life. Others will be struggling. So we need to talk to each other. We need to share our triumphs, our struggles, and help each other in our connection with God. That's another reason why we have to come together. Because if we want to live lives of faith, then the implication or result of that is directly connected to our communication with God. Once again, looking at our heroes of faith, Enoch proved that he was connected to God because he lived for 300 years with God. And that's why God rewarded him, by taking him up, not allowing him to experience death. And this actually leads us nicely into the last component of faith. God will reward those who exercise such faith. It's reassuring news, isn't it? That those who live a life of faith will be rewarded by God. If you want to look at verse 6 with me. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The acts of faith expressing confidence in the living God do not go unnoticed or unrewarded. So think about a regular day for you. Whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you think, God is watching. He wants us to make decisions through our faith that honor and glorify Him. Abraham was justly rewarded for his faith. He trusted and acted accordingly to God's promise, and now he is known as the father of all nations. God rewarded Abraham for being obedient. So I guess we need to remember that every time that we gossip, every time that we backstab someone, every time we tell a white lie because we actually want to bend the truth to suit our own situation, every time we swear or curse or use the Lord's name in vain, God can't and won't reward us. Why? Because our actions don't match up to the faith that we have in God. Therefore, we're not glorifying God through our decisions that we make. And just as an aside, we need to be aware that the reference to rewards here is not just referring to God's goodness in our own lives here on earth. In John chapter 14, Jesus mentions that he's going to his Father's house, to heaven, and preparing a place for us. And this comes back to the opening verse of this chapter. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is living for something better than what this life has to offer. But do you know what the problem with our faith is? We don't allow our faith to glorify God at all times. There are times in our life when we let doubts hinder the way that we express our faith. Oh, I can't talk about my faith at work because some people might be offended. Oh, I've chosen to go out with a non-Christian because I don't think that, you know, there are really any Christians my type around. Oh, I've got so much on at the moment that I just can't commit to this ministry that I've been asked to help out with. I'm just too overloaded at the moment. I've got no time. Do you see where our frailties are? And these are just a few of the examples that prevent us from living out our full faith potential. And you might even say that these heroes of faith are extraordinary people who were chosen by God to live out their faith. Well, if you're thinking that, let me tell you something. These men and women were ordinary men and women, just like you and I. They were sinners, they were people who had doubts, and they were people who struggled. You know, Abraham, known as the father of faith, he doubted God's provision in his life. God promised that that Abraham would be the father of all nations, and his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. But the problem was that Abraham and Sarah did not have any children. So when God had told Abraham that he would give him a son, Abraham fell face down on the floor and laughed. He said, "Will a son be born to a man who is 100 years of age? Will Sarah, my wife, bear a child at 90 years old?" You know, all these ordinary men and women listed here in Hebrews struggled from time to time. But ultimately, they carried on. They persevered. By faith, they were able to please God. And God rewarded each one of them. They were sure of what they hoped for and certain of what they could not see, even though they couldn't see it. All of them put their hope in something better to come. The greatest history maker. Just last week, we celebrated Good Friday and Easter. That's what these heroes put their faith in. That God would send a Messiah to come and save the world. Yet none of them received what had been actually promised. And if you read verse 30 and 39, it tells us that. Jesus, God's only son, was faithful and obedient to God's call in his life. And he willingly gave up his life for you and I. when he died and he rose again. Why? Because from time to time, we aren't faithful people. From time to time, we let our selfish ambitions get in the way of our faith. Get in the way of what God's good and perfect will is for us. That's why Jesus had to come. He had to come to take away our sins, our shortcomings, so that we can actually have relationship with the Father, so that we can be called children of God. So now through Christ's death and resurrection, we and our Hebrews heroes are made perfect. His once and for all gift is enough to cleanse and make us holy. So therefore, our response to this passage, which was read to us tonight, is critical. There are three choices which you can make from Hebrews 11. The first choice is that you can totally deny God's existence in our lives. You can deny that God created the world, that he sent his Son, Jesus, to die for us, and that there is actually nothing more to life after we finish up here on earth. Because obviously if you don't have faith, then you don't share in the hope of heaven that awaits us as Christians after we die. The second choice is this. You can go on living a mediocre life of faith, allowing your faith to shine in some areas of your life, but when the going gets tough, you choose to conform to what the world has to say and offer. An example of this is being a Sunday Christian. You come to church, you talk about God's goodness in your life, but when you get out into work, when you get out into school, no one knows about your faith. You don't want to upset anyone. You don't want to be seen as different. It's too risky to be a Christian outside of church. The third and final choice is that you can actually allow your faith to glorify and please God, just like these Hebrews heroes. In other words, we are living according to God's promises and his perfect plan for us. If we are sure of what we hope for, knowing that God has something better in store for us, knowing that Jesus right now is setting up a place for us in heaven, then our response must be one of faith. Sure, times will get tough, but that's when our faith needs to be stronger. And that's why we have Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Jesus, through his Spirit, can help us impact the lives of others and make a difference. The question is, are we wanting our faith to make a difference so that we can also make history?